Hi, this is Nicole Brandon with Hourglass Bride, and it's such an honor to have you with us today. Today is actually a very special show. The wedding guest that we have today is actually up in the mountains, and she's up in Tahoe, which is just so beautiful and so spectacular. But as beautiful as it is, and as close as she is to God, and as amazing as the energy is, she's having difficulty being able to connect on phone and online. And so we know what that's like, and certainly we will bring her back because we really had such a special show, and it's actually something I know that you're all going to be so excited by. And so what we've decided to do is my producer and I were talking about it, and we're going to talk about what we've learned through this summer. And for me, it's been such an extraordinary experience since the very beginning of doing this. I had a chain of fitness studios, and my fitness studios were Artistry in Motion, Aim for Excellence, and my Artistry in Motion studios, I had Pilates classes and Reiki. We had amazing acupuncturists, massage, yoga, dance, tango, flamingo. We had children's programs. We had personal training. But the programs that were the most popular were the bridal programs. And so I had a 90-day program called Dream Body, Dream Day, and it was a 90-day program for brides to fit into their wedding dress. And during the course of the time that I was teaching Dream Body, Dream Day, the 90-day fitness program, we had a five-month waiting list. That's how popular the class was. And so when I sold the studios, I knew that I had something there. I had something for brides. And the idea that a bride would buy a wedding dress 10 months to a year out, one or two sizes too small, hoping to fit into that dress on her day, I knew was something quite extraordinary. And so I really wanted to look into the mindset of the bride. And so what I did was, once I sold my studios, I went to Dr. John Gray, who is a very dear friend of mine. And John Gray, as you know, wrote Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, the single most popular book in our lifetime. And the reason that John's book is so popular is because what he taught people about relationships and the differences between men and women was really so special and so extraordinary. And so John and I decided that we are going to create a television show, which we have done and which you will see very soon for the two of us, and that we wanted to create an online site in which John would talk about relationships. And he would tell you, if your parents got divorced when you were five and this is the first time they're getting together, how do you act? If you have three sisters and one is going to be your maid of honor, if you have a family that doesn't get along, if you're marrying somebody that's Muslim or a different religion or has different traditions, how do you handle that? How do you blend your families if you're marrying somebody with children, if you're the Brady Bunch and you're combining your families? And so what we did was we decided that we were going to create this product and this line and this website to help people. To really, John would help them in relationships in every way possible, and I would help them in fitness and health and wellness and everything from prenatal and pregnancy and postnatal and sexual intimacy and how to have the body of your dreams and how to shape up for super sex and how to de-stress and all of these things. And we have so many friends around the world that are transformational leaders and doing such extraordinary things. What we did was we decided to open the door and see who wanted to teach brides, who wanted to teach women that are, one, starting their life and everything is in joy, is in happiness. All of the possibilities are right in front of them for the happily ever after. And we wanted to give them every tool and every technique and absolutely everything that we possibly could to give them the life that they dream and desired. And then we knew that we had women that had been married three, some even five times, and this time they wanted it to stick. They didn't want it to end. And whatever the problem was, whatever the glitch was, whatever wall, whatever hurdle they'd come across in the past, whatever pattern of behavior, type of men, we wanted to shift and change that so that this marriage, the one that they were about to embark on right now, was going to change their lives and give them the life that they had always dreamt of and knew that they deserved to have. And then, of course, we had women that had been married 5, 10, 20, 25, like my parents, 50 years, that were looking to deepen their relationship, looking for sexual intimacy. And we wanted to be able to help them And then we realized that we had a whole world of women who were widowed, who had lost a spouse or loved one, from a 23-year-old woman whose husband just died in Afghanistan and she has a newborn baby, to someone whose husband just had a heart attack, to someone who was hit in a car, a motorcycle, an unexpected death in an airplane crash, in 9/11. And how do you start over? And then certainly we wanted to help women that have been raped or abused or traumatized in any way to trust love. And so we looked at all of these different avenues, all of these different doorways, and said, who can we bring in to teach? Who can we bring in to share their expertise, their time, their talent, their gifts, their magic with our audience? And we have had just some of the most incredible, incredible, incredible guests. And for me, I know personally, and I know that John would say the same thing, and everybody, you know, Chris, our producer on the show, and everybody that's listening, every week we learn. Every week somehow the quality of our life is better after listening to the guests that we have and the people that are sharing this amazing, incredible information with you. And so when we were talking today and knowing that my guest is up in the mountains enjoying this beautiful, incredible open space but having trouble calling in and connecting with us today, and like I said, we certainly will bring her back because it's one of the most special shows and sexiest shows, so we're really enticed to bring her back to you. But we were talking about that since the inception of the show, and we were looking at the list of all of these extraordinary guests and what we've learned from them and how our own lives have changed. Even I remember Lisa Conrad Cohen, the dating designer, when she was on the show and she was saying, you know, Nicole, you wear jeans all the time and men really like dresses and you really should be wearing more dresses. And listening to people's advice and what they say. And so that's going to be our discussion today, is what we have learned. And Chris, are you there with me? Are you still on the line?
Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
Have I abandoned
Thank
ship
you so
on you?
Much. Oh, it's so nice to hear your voice. Sorry, I'm just sort of spouting on about these things, incredible guests. But it really, I've learned so much. And I know that sometimes as we go through our weeks and we go through these bios, and one of the most amazing things for me is that very often, and you've heard me say this, is that I've met so many of our guests, almost all of our guests I know in person, and I've experienced their work, and I've been, you know, really cherish them. I admire them. I'm in awe of what they do. But then they send us their bios, and there is just this incredible well of information that I never knew about each and every guest that we have had, as well as I think I know somebody. I just, my chin hits the floor every time I see the resumes of the people that we've had on this show.
Right, right. Well, let me ask you, you know, since we're going to turn the tables and I'll become the interviewer for a little while here. You know, ever since I started to, you know, work on this show for you and this kind of thing, like there's only so much I know about you too. And, you know, I know that you're not married. And
yes.
I believe that you've never been married.
And, that is correct.
Right, and so that's like me. So far we're alike, but that's where the likeness ends.
you have a very popular radio show, and which I love.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
There you go. and there is no doubt about it. Like it bewilders me, and it just shows you how unlike the average person I am. That like on my show we do a lot of readings and things like this, and by far, you know, like that, the whole relationship or love question, Mr. Right, Mrs. Right, when are they going to come into my life, is among, you know, the top questions that is asked by callers. It bewilders me. I don't understand it. But so let me ask you, like, why would somebody like you with the diverse background that you have? Because let me say, if you talk about your guests and how you know, once you read their bios, you're like, wow, like, you know, and there's so much to you, you know, fitness, nutrition, stunt person, actress, motivational speaker, you know, on and on, dancer, you're jumping around all over the place,
acrobatics,
contortionist, you know, you're all of these things, and then there's the whole spiritual side to you, but so why weddings then? Why a show about weddings?
That's such a great question. You know, when I was very young, and very young meaning first, second grade, very young, I became a published writer when I was very small. I would write short stories, and my teacher would send them in, and I started getting published. So by the time I was in fifth grade, I was kind of a very popular writer. And I wrote a lot of poetry, and that was really my thing. And whatever I would see, if I was watching somebody at a table having a conversation and it was a father talking to a son, I write a poem about it. Or if I saw somebody in January buying a pair of white pumps and it was snowing outside and I thought that was funny, I'd write a poem about somebody buying white pumps. And I just wrote from my observation. And that from that poetry, I started, you know, writing letters. I started to do your John service if your gas is wrong, or your gas bill or your electric bill. I could just, you know, write. And my friend Rift Fournier, and Rift was, when he was born, his parents fought about what to call him, and it caused a rift, and that's actually what they called him, Rift. And Rift was, and continues to be, one of the top cop writers and detective and police writers in our time. I mean, he worked on Hill Street Blues and Charlie's Angels and Beretta and Kojak and on, an amazing writer.
Cool.
And he has said to me, you know, you have to stop writing, you know, short form, and you have to write long form if you're going to make money as a writer. And he said, you have to start writing poetry and, you know, actually write, you can write. And I said, well, what would I write about? And he said, you write about something you know better than anybody else in the world. That's how manuals are written. You're an expert. He said, or you write about something you know nothing about, like little green people on Mars. And I sat down and I made a list of everything that I was an expert in. And at that time, I was an expert in dance, like you said, in fitness and exercise. I knew more about art. I knew more about literature than anybody I knew. I was reading Dostoevsky when I was in second grade, and like Freud and, you know, Thus Speaks Zarathustra when I was like 11. I mean, I knew a lot about literature and art. But when I made my list of what I knew about better than anybody else in the world, it was nothing earth-shattering. It wasn't like I was going to write the greatest book on literature of all time or something. It didn't resonate with me. And then I sat down and said, okay, what are my little green people on Mars? What do I know nothing about? And what is it that I'm going to write for my imagination and my heart, you know, my desire? And I was so busy working. I mean, I've been professional since I'm 9 years old. I was Little Miss America and Petite Miss Dance of America and Little Miss New Jersey. And I was 14. I was the opening act at Resorts International Casino. And I have been on stage performing ever since I was a kid. And so I didn't have time for relationships. You know, my friends when I was 10 were 30. My friends when I was 15 were 30 and 40. I didn't have other kids. I didn't even have normal kid relationships. And so my little green people on Mars was love. It was romance. And so I wrote a love scene that was my imagination. And now I was a virgin. I've never been with anybody, never kissed a guy. It was my idea of what love should be. But you have to also understand, I'm a contortionist. My body has no limitations. I have a spirit that's unlimited, thus unlimited life. And so I wrote love from an unlimited imagination. And I handed him the scene, And I didn't hear from him for a couple weeks, and I thought, oh, it's so bad. He can't even come back to me and, you know, tell me how bad it is. And he showed up at my door one day, and he said, Paramount Pictures is going to be calling you, and they're hiring you to come on to ghostwrite this movie with a science fiction writer. He's fulfilling a free picture deal, and they want you to come in and work on this. And I thought it was a joke. I was like, right, who's calling me to write love? I've never even kissed a boy. Sure enough, I got hired as a ghostwriter to write these love scenes. And then from there, I started ghostwriting soap operas and then television shows. And then I wrote 29, you know, romance novels and started writing television shows and screenplays. And my genre was love. I actually started a marriage proposal service, and I charged the guys $200 each, and I would give the guys the words, and I had a little disclaimer, I don't promise you'll say yes, but I gave the guys the words to propose. But what I was really doing was I was writing the way I wished a guy would propose to me.
Right. Right.
And so
you hadn't yet been tainted by the reality of it, so you were able to speak of love and relationships from the little girl's imagination of Cinderella and blah blah blah, right?
Right. And when I meet people that are getting married, the joy, the excitement, the enthusiasm, the zest, the zeal, the bliss, the courage, the bravery, the all of this stuff, the sensuality, the passion, you know, that it's like they're marinating in life. And so, of course, you always say, I want that. It's like, what is the movie when Harry Met Sally, whatever, when she does the orgasm, and people like, I'm having whatever she's having. You know, every time you meet a bride, you say, I want that. Whatever that feeling is, whatever that thing is that makes you smile that way. And so the fact that I have so many friends that teach relationships, communication, intimacy. And so for me, what a great way for me to share the people that I know. And what a great way for me myself, because I'm not going to step on any landmines. For me, it's a wonderful way to learn. So when I am with someone I love, I will know how to communicate with them. I will know how to listen. I will know how not to emasculate a man. I will know how to follow my own dreams and take care of myself in the process, and how to do all of these things and be able to have fun and be able to have laughter and all of these things that we've had people come in and talk to us about, how to feng shui our house. I mean, that was great advice for any, forget about getting married. I mean, yes, every single person that was listening to the show on any level of a relationship should know how to feng shui your house so there aren't fights or arguments, or how to bring abundance into your house. But for anyone, you know, when we learned how to feng shui the house, and that, I mean, I loved when, you know, PK was talking about that, you know, the waterfalls, and then you put in, you know, the rocks and the waterfalls, and all of a sudden it's not in flow anymore because it's hitting the rock or it's hitting the mark. You think it's pretty, you know, and that we don't even realize that we're doing, you know, silly, stupid things in our house with the color of the light bulb or the fluorescent light. You know, I remember being in Ecuador, and there was a room, the dingiest, dirtiest, ugliest, most depressing room I've ever been in my life. And it was the dining hall, and it was also the nightclub. And at 5 o'clock, they would unscrew the light bulb, and they put in a pink light bulb. And that same room with the folding tables that were rusted, that was the nightclub, because they changed the color of the light bulb.
Right.
You know, and I still remember that. But so for me to be able to help brides on this journey, and I think it's so beyond, it doesn't peak at the wedding, that what we've told people and what we've taught people and the information that we share is lifelong. How to get out of debt, how to have abundance, how to combine your money, how to, whether you're sending your kids to college or buying a yacht or taking a world vacation or wanting to buy multiple homes and invest in homes, and that, you know, investing in homes is wealth. All of those things that we've talked about on the show are life lessons beyond the wedding day. But if you could take these lessons and take it into your marriage, oh my gosh, then you really can have that fairy tale come true. And I mean, and so I remember we had Amanda Rain, I think, was one of the most powerful shows for me. And Amanda was talking about speaking the unspeakable. Mm-hmm. And like even sexually, how do you ask for the things that you want? How do you say, you know, this is, you know, I talked to you about this and I've always been curious about this. And do you think, or would you want to explore? Would you, you know, the way that, you know, I'm a little insecure in even asking this, but, you know, and just the way that she phrase things, or, you know, I've been really sensitive to things like this in the past, and so I just want to talk to you about that, and because I really need your help, and, you know, getting over this more and being able to open up with you with these, and the way that she talked to us about how to discuss sexual intimacy or ask for the things in our life that we want, that we're afraid to ask for, and oh my gosh, every single listener on every single radio show should have listened to her show on how to speak the unspeakable. That was amazing. I mean, I can't tell you, even though I was a host of the show, how many times I played it and taken notes and said, okay, that's a great technique. That's a great way to be able to have a conversation with somebody that I've been afraid to have or don't know how to have or have wanted to have, or even to be able to express something in myself that I don't know how to share with somebody. You know, I mean, it's so interesting. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and I think we were talking with this on Kevin's show, and she's led a life very similar to mine. I mean, very different from mine in the fact that her family owns a special effects business, which I always love, because I have friends that say that their family was a cross between the Brady Bunch and the Addams Family, you know, because they were like monsters in their living room and stuff like that, and world of heads, and, you know, and to have those kind of special effects where all these things come to life. And so, but she was saying that she went on a date, and when she told me this, I was laughing so hard, tears were rolling down my eyes, because it's my life she was talking about. But she went on this first date, and this guy was asking her questions about her life, and she was explaining about the rolling heads and, you know, the mummies and the things and, you know, whatever it is that, you know, her family, her life. Right. And she said it wasn't until she was on the date that she heard herself and went, oh my God, what must this guy think to listen to my life? Like, yes, I have, you know, heads in the living room or whatever it is, and, you know, I have all these creatures and we made monsters and, you know, whatever that is, and bloodbaths, and yet, like, the most loving family, and she performed, you know, always and did all this stuff I did, and as hard as I was laughing, I went, that's exactly what it's like for someone to listen to me.
Right.
People, I mean, I had a situation a couple of months ago. Somebody sent me something on Facebook, and it was so mean, and it was so cruel, and it was when I was dancing with the Diavolo Dance Company, which for me was on my bucket list, and it was one of my lifelong dreams to dance with Diavolo, and I had this incredible opportunity to perform with the Diavolo Company B, and always, I mean, that truly was on my dream list. And now that I've had the opportunity to do that, I had posted on Facebook and said that I danced with Diavolo and what an incredible experience it was and what I learned. And this person wrote this really mean thing and said, and I was saying in there, you know, that I'd worked with Cirque du Soleil and the Beijing Acrobats, the Russian Soviet Acrobatic Troupe, and now Diavolo, and that, you know, how dreams really can come true. And she's like, you know, what the hell? And when were you working with the Russian Soviet Acrobatic Troupe? And I must have missed that part of your life. And, you know, your head's in the cloud. Like, whatever it was that she said. And I read this thing, and I was so wounded. And I went on her Facebook, can't talk today. I went on her Facebook page, and she was only 4 years old when I worked with the Russian Soviet Acrobatic Troupe. And so I kindly wrote back and said, you know, this is the year, and these are the articles and the links to me performing with the Russian Soviet Acrobatic Troupe. And I see by your Facebook page you were only 4, you know, when I performed with them. And so you may not remember, you know, me doing that show.
Right.
And I understand from your perspective and from an outside perspective, this must seem crazy. This must seem extraordinary. But this is truly my life. And this is when I was with Cirque, and this is when I was, and I have had these amazing opportunities, this magic carpet ride that I get to call my life, that has been such an incredible incredible journey. And, you know, but from the outside, it must be bizarre. You know, and I can't tell you how often I'm at these incredible, you know, I was swimming with the pink dolphins mm-hmm. in Ecuador, and they're alligators alongside the road. And the people I was with, you know, the Ecuadorian people from the jungle that were in this village, they said, yeah. nothing can harm you here. And, of course, I'm looking at the alligators saying, well, there are alligators.
Right.
And they said, don't worry about the alligators because the alligators will stay along the shore. You're in the center, you know, with the pink dolphins and you're fine. But at some point you have to leave the water. Yes,
right.
they're along the shore, but you can't live in the water. You actually have to go to shore.
Right.
they're
and
now that you know there
the
are alligators. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I remember doing that, and I remember swimming in Hawaii, and there was a baby shark, and I followed the little baby shark, and someone said, Nicole, that's so stupid, where there are baby sharks, they're mama sharks. And I was like, oh, I wasn't yeah. thinking about that. I just saw a baby shark and went, oh, how cute. But for a man to be with me, oh, my God, it's got to be some crazy guy. Because
yeah. yeah.
look at my life. You know, look sure. at what I do. You know, my dad said to me once, he said, you know, honey, you are harder to raise than 14 bad children. And I said, what? My dad laughed. And no, truly, because he said that. And he said, no, honey, it's true. And I said, what? Like, because I think I'm this ideal child. And my dad said, honey, listen to me. He said, if you have a bad child, you reprimand them. He said, if they're sick, you get the medical care. Scholastically, you get a child tutored. He said, financially, you always put a roof over a child's head. He said, but you'd stand on top of a cliff in front of a raging ocean and you'd jump and you'd say, Daddy, watch.
Yeah.
He yeah. said, in your whole childhood, we never knew. You were so fearless that every time you walked outside the door, we had no idea that you'd come yeah. back. And so, you know, I know for myself that when I was at the Matterhorn, which was one of the sexiest places I've ever been. And, you know, you get to the, when you get up to the Matterhorn, which is the top of the world, and it's in Zermatt, Switzerland, and you take this train, you know, through the Swiss Alps, and every minute it's like an orgasm. Every minute of the train ride, you're going, oh, ah, ah. Like, it's like so beautiful. Every moment
right.
is like more beautiful than the second before. And you get up there, and you're met by horse-drawn carriages because they can't get cars that high. And the horse-drawn carriages take you to your hotel, and kids are skiing to school. Bonjour, bonjour, bonjour. And they're off,
wow.
and people are playing hockey in the streets. And the hotels
yeah.
are made out of glass.
Wow.
And so you could see the Matterhorn, and there are ice sculptures everywhere. And when you ski the Matterhorn, you need no skiing skill whatsoever. It's like the ride in Disneyland. You go around and around and around the Matterhorn. It's the real Matterhorn, just without a hole through the middle. And you're skiing, and it's, you know, Italy, Switzerland, Germany, France, and you're skiing around, and you could stop in any country and have coffee or something. And I remember being up there in tears thinking, I wish someone were here to share this with me.
Right.
Like, it's the most magical moment to be up there. The top of the world, and to see something that breathtaking, that beautiful, and to be alone, you know, or for me to be in Ecuador, in the middle of the jungle, and sounds you never even knew existed, you know,
right.
with, you know, thousands of birds singing at the same time, or to be in Lake Como, or, you know, the island of Capri, or wherever it is, to be in Turkey at the Grand Bazaar, or, you know, some of these extraordinary places that I've had the opportunity to horseback ride down the Haleakala Crater in, you know, Hawaii, and actually the horses go into the craters, and you look up and see, and but all of these experiences I have done on my own. And
right,
so
and well, people like the person that, you know, posted that thing on your Facebook and others, you know, who, like, to me, that's a little bit of jealousy or something, you know? But what people don't understand when they look at somebody else's life from the outside like that, you know, is that, you know, like, it's, there's a whole package there. And, you know, there's, it's not all, you know, all that. And you know, so there's your thing, you know what I mean? Like, you're going through, like we've heard people say, you know, like, there's nothing worse than being with someone and feeling alone. Now you're, you know, in other words, you're part of a big family, you're married, you have kids, and there you are in the middle of your own house feeling very lonely. because there's dysfunctional relationships or something. And here in your case, you're out there doing all these fantastic, amazing, one of which would be like a dream life experience, cumulatively is, unreal. But there you are, and what you're longing for is to have somebody to share that with, you know? And so, like, everybody's got to be cautious about how they look at other people's lives and cast judgment like that, you know?
Absolutely. You know, I ended a relationship with somebody in the most bizarre way. I was dating a guy who treated me like I was the golden chalice. I would walk through the door and he was like a puppy. You know, he was so excited that I was there and so happy. And, oh my gosh, he was like, I was the gem of his life. But he treated other people horribly. The stewardesses, the waiters, the way he talked to other people just hurt my heart in a way I cannot describe. And I couldn't watch anymore. I just couldn't be there to experience the way that he was cruel to other people.
And see, I had a situation where, you know, there was this guy that I was dating, and he was way over the top with how you treat a woman. And so I would show up, like if we would meet after work for drinks or go for dinner or something, we would just each, you know, meet up there, you know, because I'd be going straight from work or something. And, you know, I would go sit down and, you know, the waiter would walk by and I'd like, oh, can I have a menu, please? And he'd be, oh, I already ordered for you. And I'd be like, what? What did you order? And he'd like point to this and I'd go like, I don't really like that. Can I get a menu, please? You know what I mean? Or I would come, if we were meeting for drinks, and I would sit down and there's some frilly, foofy, you know, drink with an umbrella type of drink, you know, that I don't drink. And that offended me because I'm a woman who can make her own decisions. Thank you very much. You know what I mean? Now, I know that he was coming from a place of, you know, like he didn't have any ill will in doing that. But, you know, I was clear with him about those things, and he kept doing that kind of a thing, you see. And, like, it just was too much for me. Like, I've been looking after myself all these years. I can order my own food and order, you know, make my own choices, you know? And, you know, so I was, and he was a nice guy and everything, but it was just too, you know, too much for me. And he just never did get it, no matter how many times I tried to, you know, talk to him about it. So that's funny, you know what I mean? Like, that's why, like, you know, in a way, like when you had that one guest on that was about how to treat your man like a king, I was just like, oh my goodness. Like, I had a real problem with that show, you know what I mean? As a woman. Like,
that's
I had a
funny.
Real problem.
See, and
with
for
it.
Me, that was such. I mean, for me, that was such a great show, and, you know, and I love Deirdre's work, because I really do think that there is a way to make a man feel like a man and not feel emasculated. You know, like, I love to have a man order for me, different from you, but I love to give the man my order and say, I'm going to have, you know, the veal marsala and the Caesar salad, and then I'd like him to say to the waitress, the lady will have, but after I've told him what I want.
That's
but
right.
I like,
that's
you
right.
know what I'm saying? So it's like, but to make a man feel like, you know, he's a bad, or to acknowledge when he does things, or, you know, different ways that you can do that to make him feel special, or to make him feel acknowledged.
I like balance, you know, and that was my only, I just think that all people need to treat each other with respect. And the key to that is to not assume what that is, but to get to know your partner very well so that you know for them what it is to treat them with respect, you know, like for you, like for me, I'd like to have my own voice and order my own meal. For you, you'd like to tell your man what to order for you. In each case, you know, like we're each making our own decisions, but the key to the good relationship is that the partner is that there's been open communication, and that the partner's clued in on to what what that is, but there's a balance, you see, so that both people are treating each other with respect and making the other person feel valued. And so to me, it's like I'm not opposed to the principles that your guest spoke about in that show at all, but it's the balance that I was missing, you know what I mean?
And it's really interesting. Last night, I was on the Queen Mary ship. And I mean, mm-hmm. we could do a whole show on that because, you know, the ship is haunted and they have all the whatever.
I have a friend that was there recently, too, yeah.
And it's so funny because I posted that I was there and all these people were like, oh, the last time I was there was a ghost in the middle of my room. Or, oh, the ghost made the alarm go off. Or, oh, there's a little girl standing at the ports. But it's, I mean, and it, you know, and there are certain areas I can tell you. You know, this morning I woke up and I took a little walk about the ship myself, and feeling energy the way I feel, certainly, you know, there's so much energy there. But last night I was at this dinner dance, and almost immediately, as soon as the music started, this man came over to me and he asked me to dance. And I got up to dance with him because I liked the song, and I got up to dance with him, and he said, if you don't mind my teaching you, let me show you some things. Mm-hmm. And he immediately started to teach me how to, like, basically dance. Mm-hmm. And he's like, can you hold your fingers like this? And here, you put your elbow here. And he was totally breaking down instead of just dancing with me. Mm-hmm. And it, oh, my gosh, it turned me inside because, one, he has no idea that who I am. I wanted to say, do you know Miss Dance of America? Like, do you know? Like, I can dance. But it was, he never had a chance to even see if I could dance or not. Before he even started to dance with me, he was going to teach me to dance.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said to him, are you a professional dancer? He said, no. He said, you know, I took some, you know, classes, and, you know, I did a showcase, you know, at the studio, a couple showcases, but it's been a couple of years. I said, oh, where did you take classes? And he said, Arthur Murray. And I wanted to say, you know, I taught there for 12 years at Arthur Murray Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
But it was like, I didn't say anything, and he's trying to teach me and would not dance with me. He was going to teach me what he knew. And it was so uncomfortable for me, so uncomfortable for me. And then I had another man basically do the same thing. And then I was watching from the high deck, like down, you know, below, and I was watching these same two men grab women from the, you know, sides or whatever, the dancing thing, and bring them out and basically stop. The motion would stop. They would turn them around and start to teach them what to do instead of dancing with them and having a good time and enjoying the moment. And I thought, wow, that's how these guys are picking up women, is let me teach you how to, you know, without even.
Yeah.
And then, of course, last night, later on in the evening, I performed, and this man came back, and he said, excuse me. I said, yes. He said, wow, you're an amazing dancer. I don't even know what to say. And I said, oh, no, that was really fun. That was interesting, I guess. But it's like, I've never had that experience, and it was
so now where's the balance, though? Like, okay, so now there's two things at play there with what happened with you last night from where I sit, okay? You know, you wanted to let the man be the man and be the teacher and blah, blah. But at the same time, it was chewing you up a little bit inside because, like, you are a dancer and you can teach him a few things. And so as far as the communication, so now let's apply some of what we've learned on the show so far. You know what I mean?
I would be badly beaten by a stick with some of the guests that we've had.
You know,
because
and so there is a tactful way that you could have communicated to them.
Idiot.
Oh, how excellent! Well, how excellent that you know how to dance, and I'm a professional dancer, so I'm very looking forward to enjoying this dance. Let's dance, you know. And you know what I mean, like. But instead, like you went too far to like. And I'm not criticizing you. You know what I mean?
Yes,
but,
you are. But like, that's okay. I appreciate it.
Well, no, but I mean, okay, constructive criticism. Then I'm really not. Yes. My intent isn't criticism. You know, I'm observing. And then, you know, the purpose of the show today is let's review what we've learned on the show. You know what I mean? And so I'm all okay. This is like, you know what I mean? And so, but there are ways, you know, that you can, sort of like put some of these things that we have learned on this show into, and how much more enjoyable would that have been? To just dance with that guy.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it really, the whole time I was like, oh my gosh, I hate this so much. And it's so funny because it was like, and I hated being single in that moment more than I even hated dancing, because I was like, if I wasn't single, I wouldn't be in this situation. Right. But at the same token, you're right. If I had taken the stellar advice from our guest, I would have said, you know, exactly what you said, how great that you can dance, because I'm a professional dancer, so I'm excited. You know, I saw some guy put on his dance shoes, and right away I was like, oh, I definitely don't want to dance with him. He brought his ballroom dance shoes or something.
Yeah, I know,
he's showing people he can dance, and it's like, you know.
That's funny. See, that's the whole thing. Yeah, I'm more like the bowling alley chicken. So it'd be like, you know, like if somebody's bringing shoes to an event, it's because they're, you know, because they're for specific to a sport, not. But okay, so see, and that huge difference between you and I is like I avoid those social situations like the plague, because there's nothing I hate more in this world than dancing. You know what I mean? I don't dance. And that is all there. And so the worst thing that can happen to me is that someone would ask me to dance. You know what I mean? And I will not look at people. If I'm stuck in a situation where there's dancing, you know what I mean? Like, I will not look at anybody. I will really sit there and pray that nobody comes and asks me to dance, you know? And, you know, there was one time that I broke my own rule, and it was only because it was really a touching moment. And I was attending my great aunt and uncle's 50th wedding anniversary, and that's my grandmother's sister. And I didn't really get to know my grandmother when I was growing up, and I met her one time as an adult, and then she was killed in an accident. And so I was in this small town in Saskatchewan, and I was trying to, and then I wrote a little letter, a touching little letter to my aunt and uncle, because once I was an adult and I got out in the world, I got to know them very well and spent lots of weekends at their place and stuff like this. And so, you know, they meant a lot to me. And so I wrote them, you know, and their older son, he asked me if I would be willing to read that at the event that night, you know, the party or whatever it was. And so I reluctantly agreed, because at that time I was just horrified also to do any public speaking or in front of people I didn't know. And so I got up there and I tried and I started to read this thing, and then I was emotional about it. So I was choking back tears. But I started out by saying, you know, how do I fit into this, is, you know, that my grandmother is the sister of, you know? And, and so after all of that, this elderly gentleman approaches me. And now my grandmother married a beast of a man, not a very nice guy at all. And he was really, really not nice, and in really bad ways. And so this really kind man, you know, approaches me and says, oh, you know, your grandmother was the love of my life, and I still love her, and blah, blah, blah. Like, I wanted to marry her so badly, and she married that guy. And it was breaking my heart, you know, because my grandmother, I would have wanted for her to have such a beautiful man, you know, as a husband. Now, I understand that everything happens the way it happens, but so then he asked me if I would dance, and I could not say no to this guy. So this man got to dance with the love of his life's granddaughter, you know, who really hates to dance, but I danced with him anyway, you know.
Aww.
And so, like, other than that, I will not dance, you know. I don't know what it is. I just don't like it. I think it's because I don't. I think it's because I see how people sit back and then pick apart how everybody else dances, you know? And, like, I don't want to subject myself to that. I'm pretty sure that has to be at the root of it, you know?
But if you just do it for joy, if you ever want, I'm going to excellent teacher. I would love, you know, because I love to share the joy and the simplicity and the beauty. They had, I was at an event, I guess just a little over a year ago now, and I was at a wedding, and there was an elderly man, and maybe he was in his early hundreds, like 99, 100, 101, somewhere in there, oh. You know, and he was sitting in his seat, and he was swaying to the music. His hands were in the air by his face, and you could just see the music was in him, and he was moving about in his chair, and I went over to him, and I said, would you like to dance? And he looked at me and said, oh, I'm not a very good dancer. I don't dance very well. And I said, neither am I. I said, but it would just be a lot of fun. And he took my hand, and this man that was honestly, Chris, I mean, I bet you he was in his early hundreds. And he took my hand, and the minute he started to dance with me, he started to cry, and he said, my wife died 37 years ago, and I haven't danced since.
Wow, yeah.
And yeah. He just danced with me, and the whole room was still just watching us dance. But I'll never forget dancing with him. It was
right.
Like there was something, there was such a joy in being able to gift him that and gift that to myself.
Right. Yeah, that's a great story. That's a great story. Isn't it funny? And nobody really knows, you know, like all the backstories of all the people we meet, you know, but, and that's how come it's best to walk gently and make no assumptions, you know.
Well, maybe this guy wasn't real last night. Maybe he was a ghost on the ship.
Well, he's not. That was one of my first thoughts. It's the very first thought that came to my head right when you started to tell the story, you know. But, no, he was real. Unfortunately, he was real. But, you know, but that's cool. That's cool. So like if I, you know, I really enjoyed, you know, the discussion on making wise choices of money, around money, because I know that is, one of the areas that causes a lot of grief and stress. And I know that, you know, you've had the step parenting thing, but at some point it'd be good to talk about, because another area of stress in many families is when there's disagreement on how to raise children, what is discipline and how do we discipline our child and decisions about the children. And that usually is also up there in terms of what things are causing distress in relationships. And so that would be an interesting one. But so far, and it's not that there's a favorite, because there's gems to take away from all the shows that you've done so far on Hourglass Brides. But is there any of these shows that stand out in particular to you?
It's interesting that you ask, because like you said, so many of the shows and so much of the information I've used and I utilize, I mean, The Dating Designer, obviously, everything that Lisa said, you know, is amazing. And Yakov Smirnoff, who is such a dear friend of mine, who has the happily ever laughter. And I know, I mean, my dad makes my mom laugh. He makes me laugh. My dad is one of the funniest. If you met my dad and I asked you what you thought he did, you'd say stand-up comedy. You would never think he was, you know, a stockbroker with Merrill Lynch or whatever, that he's so, so, so funny. And I know the joy that he has brought into our lives through his humor. And so for me, and then when I found out that he actually did the painting for 9/11 at Ground Zero, when he was telling that story, Chris, I could barely speak to be able to come back to ask him more questions. I was sitting here crying. It was so, I mean, he has got the most genuine heart. He's such a caring, such a loving, such an amazingly deep and profound and special person. And the fact that he is my friend, I mean, what did I do right, you know, that I have such an extraordinary friend? But the information that he gave to couples on laughter, and where he was saying it's not about making the person laugh, but that the more you give to somebody and the more you love somebody, how that laughter becomes natural.
Right.
Because and so that And that joy is just part of your everyday in your life. And so that to me was just so wonderful. And then, yes, you know, certainly we got so many letters, people writing in on Shelley Lefko's, you know, treat your children with dignity and respect,
right.
Not just on step-parenting, but everything she talked about, how to be a parent. And when Melissa Terry was talking about if you've been raped or abused, how do you trust love? I mean, that's like the scariest subject. And how do you know it's going to be okay? And how do you reach inside yourself and know that love is possible? This thing called love, or this thing called safety, or this thing called connection. And so that show, to me...
Right, because women and men who have been in those situations, they first have to figure out what love is, because that's been their definition of love. Love has meant, you know, somebody that, like, if you've been a child that was abused, you know, that's how you grow up thinking that, because you know, that's just what you think it is. How many times do we know the stereotypical situation where there's a batterer, you know, who's the next day profusely sorry, I love you, and here's some flowers, and I'll never do that again, and I love you more than life, and then, you know, another week goes by, and it's all back to the same, routine, so it's about those people needing to first find a healthy definition of what love is, and how can you... You know, what does it look like? What does it feel like? What, you know, how do people treat you when they really do love you?
And I thought, that show for me is so etched in my mind. And very often people will, you know, call or they'll say, oh, you know, I want to listen to your shows and I'm a new listener and what do you recommend I listen to? And I always, you know, in my top five things that I say, I always think that, you know, how to free yourself from joy, because whether you were raped or abused or have gone through that, or you've done it to yourself,
mm-hmm.
where you've not given yourself permission to love and be loved the way that love was really meant to be,
mm-hmm.
it's great advice and a great show. And
right.
So I think that was just really wonderful. And then, of course, the things, you know, Money and You, Money and Us, D.C. Cordova doing that, Shelley Campbell, How to Free Yourself from Debt. You know, I took extensive notes on all of her money hits. Melissa Santano, who, you know, sold my place for me on, you know, how to give
yeah.
a gift of wealth, first-time home buying. I mean, that's yeah. like for anyone going to buy a house, Melissa is... I mean, I think Melissa's like the golden realtor. I really do. Because
right.
you remember that she said that, you know, she would go door to door. Like if you said your idea was, you know, Mother Hubbard, a shoe with, you know, 15 shoelaces that you could put your 20 children in or whatever, and like
yeah.
that was what you were looking for, she'd go look for that and go door to door and say, hey, is this available? Because I have someone that this is exactly what was in their head. And what realtor does that? Like, what
mm-hmm.
realtor cares that much about your picture? Like, you know, you're a little kid and you draw the thing with the roof and the flowers outside and, like, this
yeah.
is the picture that I've had, and actually giving you the picture that you have and getting you into that place. And so, you know, Melissa, to me, she's not a realtor. She really does help you find your dream house. That is who she is and what she does. And so that... You know, it was incredible. And then certainly, you know, How to Feng Shui Your House, Julian Michaels' numerology, you know, the street where you live, the numbers, the day you get married, you know, all
yeah.
of how many guests, the invitations, how many chairs. I mean, all of that stuff for me is just like mind-boggling. And
right.
Julian Michaels, the best numerologist, not just in this country, in the world. You know, he's in Brazil, he's in Argentina, he's in France, and we see him on CNN, we see him, you know, at NBC. And the fact that he took time out of his schedule to be with us, and we had so many callers, you know, the day that he called, and everybody wanted him to do their numbers, and so we'll definitely bring him back, because that was such
right.
a fun show. And
yes.
then, of course, you know, Chris Carruthers and Danielle Barbosa, who are the best
wedding singers
on the planet. And to talk about how you pick your songs and the music of your heart and the things that you do. And, you know, Gary Malkin, who talked about the vibration of love in music and just being able to play music in your house that keeps that vibration open so you can have conversations, right, and you can have wild sex and, you know, all of those things. And, you know, and, you know, listening to Philip Coombs, you know, and how to pick your, you know, DJ, and of course, Tamara Santana, you know, who's done everything from like Rolling Stone to people to who is a celebrity photographer, and right, the advice that she gave, not just for your wedding, but how to take pictures through your own vacation 12 years from now, 20 years from now, when you have kids, how do you, you know, really photograph your life? How do
right,
you, and all, and so that was, you know, fantastic in her hints and her tips. And then, of course, you know, Yoko teaching us how to be a goddess whisperer and how to be in our feminine power.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, let's see, Debbie Silver, who was the mojo, how to keep your mojo going, which
right,
you definitely, you know, need your mojo and your energy during these times. And then last week, the mommy's game, which I just love the idea of having a game out of doing housework. And do you know that one of my friends who lives in Puerto Rico was, you know, posted on my Facebook page because I had said that she made a game out of all of this. And I guess he listened to the show because he said, you know, I'll do your emails if you do my laundry. You know, I hate emails, but I would do anyway. So he actually made an offer, and I think I'm going to call him and say, you know what, just send me your stuff and I'll send it right back if you'll answer my emails. Absolutely, because that was the best offer I've had. And she was, you know, just the idea of making things fun. I keep thinking, you know, Dick Sherman is a friend of mine who wrote Supercalifragilis and A Spoonful of Sugar, and wrote all those, you know, Mary Poppins and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and Winnie the Pooh and the Tiki 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 Room and Let's Go Fly a Kite. And I mean, he's just incredible. And I mean, I always look at Dick and say, oh my God, you wrote Supercalifragilis. He wrote A Small World. I mean, he's, like I said, I've got the most amazing friends. But, but to be able to do chores and housework with like that Supercalifragilis, with that lightness and magic, and to get everything done and to make it fun. And so certainly, you know, I know that we only have a couple minutes, but that was just so much fun to be able to listen to and to know how to do that. And so,
well,
all of
I think
guests,
you've done a great job, you know, getting some really relevant, interesting guests with great topics in this first 4 months of your show. And you know, your archive listens are off the charts, really great. And so, you know, there's a lot of people listening. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, so now you have to, you've set the bar high for yourself for the next 4 months and beyond. And so why don't you take just a quick minute and let people know some of the things that are going to be coming up, and then it's going to be time to wrap.
Absolutely. Well, next week we actually have a really dear friend of mine, Daya Hamway, and Daya is concordance law, so she teaches mediation. So if you are getting divorced, how to make it a win-win, really what's in the best interest for the child, for the family, if there is an ex involved, how to, you know, everybody to get along. Her tools, her techniques, she's incredible, and so she is next week's guest. And then we have the following month, so a month in between, we have an attorney talking about prenuptial agreements and estate planning and wills and all of that legal stuff, and so all those really important things. But in between that month, we have what I've been looking for the longest time. We have Matt Weinstein, who is one of the funniest, other than Yakov, the two of them are the funniest people that I know. He has a company called Playfair, How to Make a Relationship Fun. And so we're going to have Matt, and I've been waiting for him, and I'm so glad that he is back and able to do the show for us after his summer schedule. And we have sexual intimacy. We have two shows, one on Tantra and one on sexual intimacy coming up, and so that's going to be really exciting. And then we have Sydney Cressy, who is the top travel agent, and, you know, I think the world, who's going to talk about destination weddings and honeymoon locations and all of that. So we've got such a great lineup just in the next few weeks. And so I'm so excited, and I can't wait, and it's going to be the greatest fall. And especially I can't wait to share this information with our listeners, because this show, really, I'm so pleased that it's helping people and that we have a response that we have, and that people absolutely know that the quality of their lives will get better and that they can have the happily ever after. So, Chris, thank you for being with me today. And thank you so much for being on this journey with me. It really has been wonderful. So, for everybody, this is Hourglass Bride. This is Nicole Brandon. Join us next week on Saturday for Unlimited Life. And join us next week for Daya Hamway. I wish you all an incredible week, and to live that life of your dreams and to have the happily ever after you always knew you desired and that you deserve. Have a wonderful week. And Chris, thanks again.